We are like Brother Saint. And I believe Ephesians, the fourth chapter, tells us there are only seven ways that we are like. That is, if you're a Christian this morning, there will be seven things I can agree with you on. There may be other things, but there will be at least seven things that I will be like you and that I can agree with you on. The first thing we looked at was the one hope, and that is to be like Jesus Christ. Now, you and I agree on that. If you're a Christian, you have that one hope. The second thing we looked at was we have one Lord. And that just simply means that Jesus Christ has been given the right to sit on the throne and to wear the crown. Our life belongs to Him, and He has the right to rule us. Now, we agree on that if we be a Christian this morning. Now we come to the third thing that Paul talks about in Ephesians that makes Christians alike. And that is, we all have one faith. Now, immediately somebody says, oh, you mean you believe everything I believe? No, that's not what I believe the Bible says. You'll never find every Christian saying he believes everything just like you do. And yet we know that there is one thing on which all Christians will agree. There is one doctrine that all of us can get along with and get along on and be friends at and discuss and not disagree about. There is one faith, and I won't talk about that this morning. Before I do, I want to introduce it by a story that I heard told to me about a little boy who was sitting in church with his father. The boy was looking at a memorial plaque which was on the church wall that listed the names of all the men in the military who had been killed, who had been a member of that church. The little boy, as he looked at these names on this memorial plaque, he asked his father, why are all those names up there on the wall? And the father answered to the boy, all these men were killed in the service. For a while the boy was silent, and then he asked his father, which service, Dad, the morning or the evening? Now, at times, maybe our churches take on the appearance of a battlefield. Member being set against member, and tempers flying, and characters being assassinated, and names being slandered, and somebody says, well, where's all that peace on earth and goodwill toward men? What happened to it? So what we're dealing with now in this series of sermons is, how do we maintain a harmony within our churches? How do we have peace? How do we get along? How do we stop division within our church congregations and among Christians? And so how do we stop so much arguing and difference of opinion and hurt feelings? Well, I maintain that if we will just major on the seven things that we're alike, then we can eliminate all of the disharmony that there exists in the church today. Now, I want to talk about the one faith. To introduce that, though, I'd like to say to you that only Christianity has the one faith. Now, that's what makes us unique. We have just one religion, if you want to call Christianity religion. We have one religion that teaches and believes the one faith. And every person who is a Christian is going to agree on the essential parts of that one faith. I remember reading not too long ago of a rabbi who had one of his young people leave the Jew church, or the Jewish church, through the Jews for Jesus movement, and the rabbi was upset. He said to this girl, as he talked to her, that there is nothing about Christianity that you couldn't find in Judaism. The girl told him that she had found peace through Christianity, a peace that she could not find while she had been a Jew. He wrote her a letter, and in the letter he contended, or at least he wrote a letter to his congregation, and in the letter he contended that Judaism had everything to offer its people that Christianity could offer its people. Well, I'm biased there. That's not true. There's one thing that Christianity has that Judaism doesn't have, nor the Buddhists, nor the Muslims, nor any other religion has, and that is the one faith. That's what makes us uniquely different. That's not the only thing that separates Christians from Jews. Otherwise, we'd all be good Jews. You're Christians, but we have the one faith, and that's what separates us from Judaism. Some people have the idea, well, it doesn't matter which road you travel, for all roads will eventually someday lead to the same place, meaning heaven. Everybody's worshiping the same God anyway. You just call Him by different names. Now, brethren, if you talk like this, you reveal to me that you're probably not a Christian. Because Christians believe in the one faith, and it's the one faith that makes us believe that that's not true. Now, I want to say something else about Christians that a lot of people don't understand. Especially did this rabbi not understand why the Christian church is out to convert the Jew. Well, it's just not the Jew they're out to convert. They're out to convert everybody. We just don't pick on one kind of person. Everybody we feel like needs to come into the family of God and to believe the one faith. Now, Christians, because they are Christians, feel compelled to go about telling other people, we got it, you need it, and if you don't get it, you've had it. Now, we say it in love and we say it in concern. We say it because we want them to be a part of the one faith. Yes, Christians regarding the one faith are very biased, very one-sided, very set in their ways. They'll not budge an inch. Because, you see, that's what makes us common to each other. That's what makes us a part of the Christian body. Because we all have the one faith. Our narrow-mindedness in this one instance unifies us. Where in every other area, it probably divides us and makes us argue with each other. But in this area, the one faith, our being narrow-minded about that causes us to have a strong sense of kinship with each other. Now, what is the one faith? We all have it in common. What is it? Now, it does not mean we all have the same denominational doctrines. You know that to be true. Because that divides us. I'm talking about things that unify us, things that we can agree on. So the one faith cannot mean everybody's going to hold the same doctrines that you do about everything. Then again, the one faith does not refer to actual believing faith in general. That is, some Christians have strong faith, some Christians have weak faith. We're not alike in the amount of faith that we have. Now, what is it talking about? Well, I believe it's talking about what the Jewish girl talked about when she said she found something in Christianity she couldn't find in Judaism. That was, she said she found peace. She found peace within herself. That is, she found the peace of being free from a guilty conscience. And secondly, she found peace with God. It's the one faith that produces this kind of peace. And only Christianity can offer that kind of peace, because only Christianity has the one faith. Now let's look at Galatians 1:9. To show you how cantankerous Christians are about the one faith, Paul says, If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Now, that's getting pretty severe. May God curse the man, Paul said, that would preach any other gospel than what I preach. Gospel about what? Well, let's look at that. Look at Philippians 1:27. Stand fast now, in one spirit, with one mind, everybody be in agreement now, and strive for the faith of the gospel. There is one particular kind of faith that here we find is associated with the word gospel. And that's what Paul talked about when he says, no man should preach any other gospel. Then in the book of Jude, the first chapter, verse 3, as I write unto you of the common salvation. Now Paul was writing about, or Jude was writing about the common salvation that all Christians have in common. We have alike. And he said to these people who have a common salvation, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto all the saints. Now, we're not told to contend for pet doctrines. We're not told to contend for certain rituals or ceremonies. We're not told to contend for our fuzzy interpretations or far-out prophetic ideas. We're told to contend for the faith that was once and for all time settled, given, to contend for the one faith that's not going to ever change. After it was given, never has changed, never will change. Contend for the one faith that has been given to God's people. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now notice that this word gospel is being used consistently throughout these verses I'm reading to you. What gospel? Well, there is a specific gospel that Paul's talking about here. There is a specific gospel that becomes the one faith that we have in common, that we're to contend for. And it is associated, Paul says, with what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The one faith deals with the one gospel that talks about and explains the one salvation that makes a man a part of the family of God. It brings you into Christianity and makes you a part of it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Because that gospel, if it's preached, brings man salvation. And so Paul connects the one faith with salvation. And therefore, we as Christians have one gospel regarding salvation. We will, as Christians, not disagree about this. There is no room within our mind, within our stand, within our conviction, there is no room for disagreement. As I stand here, regardless of what denomination you are and what I am, we will, as Christians, agree on the one faith, the one gospel surrounding salvation. What is it? It's the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The peace that comes from Jesus Christ in salvation that makes me a friend of God, which makes me at peace with God, and then removes the guilt and brings peace to my own spirit. Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. Now what is the one faith? What is the one gospel? What is the gospel regarding salvation that we all agree on? I believe John 14:6 best sums it up. Jesus said, now here's the one faith. You listen, here's the one faith we agree on. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. That's it. You know, this one faith is what really upset that Jewish rabbi, because it's not his faith. And we are saying there is but one faith whereby a man might be saved, whereby a man might receive peace with God, become God's friend. There is but one faith that a man can find forgiveness through, and have his guilt taken away. There is but one faith. We really narrow it down, don't we? This means that we stand against those that have the faith that you're saved by religious activities. A lot of folks believe that. Just be religious and have religious pictures and go through a religious ritual. Talk religious talk. And that's all you have to do, be saved. That's not Christian. We stand against that. And then there are those that believe you're saved by works. Just be good and love your neighbor and be kind and considerate and give the charity and do a lot of good things and God will save you. He'll reward you. Brethren, that's not what the Bible teaches. You're not saved by works. That's not what the one faith is. Now, you may have faith your works going to save you, but it won't work. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what Christians believe. Then there are those that have the faith that, well, God is love, and God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Someday I want to preach on that subject right there. It was God's love that provides for you the one faith. Huh? It's God's love that provided for you a Savior. It's God's love that provided for you a salvation. If God's love could save you without a Savior and salvation, why did He ever send Jesus? Like I say, I want to preach on that someday. But some folks have faith in the love of God's going to save them. It's Christ. I am the way. Not God's love. I am the way. Not your works. I am the way. Not your religion. Then there are those who say, well, I have faith and sincerity. As long as a man's sincere, he'll be saved. Jesus said, I am the way. Not your sincerity. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man can come unto the Father by religion, by works, even by my holiness, even by my love, even by your sincerity. No man can come unto the Father but what? By me. You get that last part? By me. The one faith says that salvation must come through Jesus Christ. Now, man doesn't like that kind of talk. That's why the Jews crucified Jesus. That's why that rabbi was upset with that girl that left his synagogue to join a Christian church. But brethren, we as Christians have one faith. And that is that Jesus Christ and Him alone can save and can forgive and can pardon. Now, there are some mysteries that surround the one faith, and I want to quickly go through these. I don't have enough time to do it in this program, but I'll just hit the highlights. I cannot give you all the scripture references. If you'd like to have these, you can write me. I'll be glad to send them to you. Or even we'll give you the phone number at the end of the program. You can call and we'll be glad to talk about this. First of all, there is a mystery surrounding Christ's statement, I am the way. I am the way. Man is always trying to figure out some other way than the right way. God has already told us, just simply stated, that Jesus is the way for a man to be saved. Now, why argue with that? Why argue about your works? Why argue about God's love? Being so lenient, He wouldn't send anybody to hell. That's nothing to debate. Now, Christian, will you simply say, Christ is the way? I know there's a mystery about this. The first mystery is that as the Savior, God had to become a man. It's what I call the mystery of God manifest in the flesh. It's the mystery of divinity. It's the mystery of the virgin birth of Christ. How could God come down to earth and be a human being? And that's the mystery of the virgin birth. I don't know how God did it. I can't figure out how Mary was able to have a child the way she did. I don't know how the Holy Spirit produced Jesus Christ within her womb. I don't know how He did it. But Christian, we believe that Christ is the way. He was the way that came down from heaven. The way means he knows the way. And no one knows the way better than the one who's already taken the way. Jesus, who was in heaven, came down to earth, was born to tell us the way to get back to heaven. Surely somebody who's already traveled the way can tell us the best way to go. Now, Jesus Christ was not somebody that was just indwelt by God. He was not just a good man who knew God. When Jesus said, "I am the way," he was simply saying, "I am God, who has come down to earth to show you the way to get out of sin, to get out of hell, and to get yourself into heaven. I am the way." He paved the way down here and he paved the way up there. I am the way. Now, I know there's a lot of mystery about that, and I don't understand it all, but we as Christians believe this is part of the one faith. To be our Savior, God came down to this earth. If you're a Christian, you believe that. There's nothing to argue about. The second mystery is the mystery of the crucifixion. Many are offended to think that Christ would have to die, that our sins could be forgiven. The story seems so gruesome and so gory. Why would God demand the blood be shed? I don't understand the mystery, people. But in the one faith, I know that Christ was my substitute upon the cross. He came to die for sinners. He came to take the punishment that they would involve themselves forever if they did not have salvation given to them. I know that Christ took my place and your place and the sinner's place upon the cross and endured the penalty of sin. I want to say to you real quickly, the cross reveals the love of God, but it also reveals the wrath of God against sin. It reveals two things, and don't ever forget that. It reveals what God did to save a man. It also revealed what God had to do to a man that needed to be saved. Now, there is a mystery of the crucifixion. I don't understand it all. But we believe in the one faith that this Jesus Christ, God Almighty, came out of this earth and God the Son and died upon the cross, took the penalty and the pain and the punishment of our eternal punishment upon us, and then was resurrected that we might be able to escape the very same kind of torment that he went through for us. That's part of the one faith. That's part of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way," and that way involved his own crucifixion. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And if you're a Christian, you believe it too. Then there's a third mystery, the mystery of redemption. "I am the truth," Jesus said. The mystery of how the shed blood of Christ and our acceptance of him as our Lord and Savior can cause God to wash our sins away. The mystery of redemption. I don't understand how God can take blood and wash away my sin. I don't understand it. But he told us the truth. And he washes us white as snow. How? I don't know how. Then there's the third mystery. The mystery of the resurrection. And that's just not his resurrection. "I am the life," but we believe it's part of the one faith. We believe Christ was truly resurrected in the body. Went back to heaven, but involving that, he said, "I am the life." And there is a mystery there of the resurrection of our new man. The mystery of the new birth. The mystery of Christ giving unto us a new life. Causing us to be born again. Giving unto us a new spirit. What is the one faith? That Jesus Christ is the way. He came down from heaven, died upon the cross, was resurrected, went back to heaven, and now can wash us free of all our sins and give us peace from the guilt that we have for doing wrong. And then also he can give unto us a resurrection life right now. And we can be born again and become a child of God That's the mystery of salvation. How can God take a sinner and change him? He can. And make him born again. Now we have the one faith. What is that? That only through Jesus Christ can we have a new life. Only through Jesus Christ can we have peace from our guilt and peace with God. Only through Jesus Christ can we be forgiven of all the penalty of sin and escape the punishment. Only through Jesus Christ and through no other. The one faith, we believe that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And that no man will come unto the Father in heaven unless he comes through Jesus Christ. That is, unless he comes through the door, unless he allows Jesus Christ to save him, unless he's willing to make the Christ the one Lord, unless he's willing to have the one hope to be like Jesus. There is a cost to have the one faith. You have to make him the one Lord. You have to be willing to make the goal of your life the one hope. Yes, there's a cost, but oh, the prize. And may a man be cursed that preaches there is any other way for a man to be saved except through Jesus Christ. We as Christians agree on the one faith. You will never be saved, never have peace, never go to heaven unless you are willing to make Jesus Christ your Savior and the Lord of your life. Now, we as Christians agree on that if you're a Christian. There can be no question about it. We all agree on the one hope. We all agree on the one Lord. And we'll all agree on the one faith. If I get to heaven, it'll be through Jesus. If you get to heaven, it'll be through Jesus. There is no other way for a man to be saved outside of Jesus Christ. God come down to earth, who died on the cross, and was raised again, and who now extends in you the offer of salvation. If you'll give unto him the right to be the one Lord, and make it your goal to have the one hope.